Good evening.
Hope it's okay if I take my coat off. It seems to get a little warm. Everybody have a good day? Don't everybody answer at one time. It's hard for me to sort out all the voices. Everybody have a good day? Pretty good day? Anybody have any trials? No trials. Wow, there's okay. One guy had, there's two trials. Okay. Well, if the rest of you didn't, hang on, because they're coming. If your life is like mine, you know, you'll face trials, and trials are a part of this life. Trials, tribulations, troubles, challenges, call them what you will, they're a part of our life, aren't they? It's, you know, I'm convinced that, part of that is intended to keep our focus on eternity and heaven. This is not heaven. It's not intended to be heaven. We're on a journey. We're going home one day. There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope in heaven. And we'll make it through this journey if we keep our focus on the Lord. I was very, very blessed. I've been so blessed to be in your community and get to know some of you a little bit. We had supper tonight with another family and conversed with some of you, and just I feel like I'm getting to know you a little bit. It's a little bit, but I'm really, really blessed. And how that I sense, you know, a desire that God would move in your hearts. And I believe when a seeking people, you know, are really interested in hearing from God and having God do something in their lives, and God is interested, you know, God is all about that. He's a relational God. Relationship means a lot to God. And He didn't just save you and I to redeem us from hell. He saved us to make that relationship one again, that we might be one. Jesus said that they may be one even as we are one. You know, that relationship aspect of us and God and us and each other and us together with God, you know, is very, very important to God. And I think if we can realize that and get a picture of that, just how important that is to God, it should become more and more important to us. So I am very, very blessed. I was really encouraged last night with the response. What gives me a lot of hope in being here was, you know, the honesty, the, you know, the desire for God to do something in your heart. And then when God spoke, you know, you were honest and you were humble and you said, you know, God spoke to my heart about this, and I bless you for that. I believe you're on the right track, and I want to encourage you. And as I sit down in the prayer room tonight, as I prepared and as I've been going through and praying and preparing for these messages, you know, it's my heart as well that I seek a deeper relationship with God, and I want to know what God wants to do in my heart through these meetings. It's not just, okay, I'm the presenter, and, you know, I hope you guys get it. It's not that at all. It's like, God, I'm part of this needy source, and I want you to work in my heart as you work in the hearts of people. Work these things out in me, you know, because I want a closer walk with you. I want to walk with you in a closer way, and I want you to speak to my heart. So that I want to come to you with that. So as you pray, pray for each other, pray for me as well, that I will draw nigh to God as well. One of the things that I woke up in the night, and as I often do, and I woke up in the night, and one of the things that came to me, and I just thought I'd share it with you, let you ponder it and think about it a little bit. That thought of the word revival, the first account of revival, Who can tell me where I said that was and what was the context where that word was found? Does anybody remember that? First time the account of revival, the word revival was mentioned, and what was the context? Good, good. And so it was in Nehemiah, where Nehemiah was there to build the wall. Who mentioned it and in what context? Sanballat, and it was in mockery. In mockery. That's very good. That's good. And I thought about that, and it came to my heart that perhaps that could be here in the sense of revival. You know, there could be a spirit that would settle in, you know, with perhaps a negative about revival. And I encourage us to check our hearts, you know, in that. If God is, we need revival. Let's focus on that. And if that spirit works, I've seen that spirit manifest itself. It's a religious spirit that wants to kind of make a mockery of revival and what God is doing in the hearts of people. So if you sense that, you know, put up your guard. The Bible says that we are to try the spirits. This is one of the things that I have learned in my own heart, and I encourage you to do that. How many of you always know when you hear or when you sense something that it's God or not? How many of you just always know? You're just always 100% right. I sense something, boom, it's God. Anybody like that? Anybody got it? 100% all the time, just dead on. I don't either, okay? So how do we know? How do we know it's God speaking? Don't we want to know? Sure, I do. I know you do. How do we know when God is speaking? This should be the plea of our heart. Lord, teach me. Teach me to know when you're speaking. So much in the Word. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. A stranger, they won't hear." In other words, they have the discernment to say, this is the voice of God, I'm going to follow it. This is the voice of a stranger, I can discern that, I'm not listening. And when I read that and I realize that's my Savior that said that, I'm like, I need to get in. I need to get there. You know, I want to be like that. I want to be a sheep that hears his voice and follows him. And so we pray about those things and we say, Lord, how do I do that? Teach me how to do that. And one of the scriptures that support this says, try the spirits. Try the spirits of what sort they are. So not every spirit that speaks is the voice of God. So try the spirits of what sort they are. And the way you do that is with the Word. You know, does it line up with the heartbeat of God? What the voice I'm hearing, the impression I feel, the spirit that's moving me, does it line up with the heartbeat of God? You know, does it confirm that this is the heart of God? Does it line up with the book? Is it that spirit? And I encourage you as we go through this week to plead for God to speak and give you discernment to know his voice. He said, my sheep here know my voice. They know my voice. And I believe it should be every believer's desire to hear the voice of God and to follow him. I think that's very, very paramount, very, very instrumental in us, in our lives as a Christian. I would turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. I want to read a scripture to you tonight, and Revelation chapter 12. And verse 11, what we have here in the context is a spiritual warfare in heaven. and a testimony here of John and what he witnessed. And verse 11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." And when you read this in the context, you know, there's just this real spiritual warfare going on. And all of a sudden, John the Revelator makes this statement. And they, the children of God, overcame him, the enemy of the soul. How? How? I like that action. I like that. I like being an overcomer. I like being on the winning side. I like that whole context. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. There's power there. There's authority there. It's important that we get that. So when we look at that, there's several things we see in that, you know. The blood of the Lamb, there's power. You know, that's overcoming power for the Christian. And then it says, and by the word of their testimony, they love not their lives unto death. What you said, brother, sold out. They're sold out. You know, I don't care what it costs, I'm going on. My life's not important, his life in me is what's important. That's where I find life. No matter what it cost, I'm going on. I'm sold out. I'm committed. I want to walk with God. I want to do His will. I want to go all the way. I want to die faithful. I remember as a Christian, at a very early age, I remember having come from a life of addiction and drugs and immorality and the things of the world, and I remember very, very young in my Christian life, being faced with tremendous temptation, and I felt like the enemy was trying to draw me back into the old life, and I remember sensing my weakness, and I remember just crying out, "God, I don't want to go back." And I remember one time specifically that the warfare was so great. And I was in it and sensing my weakness. And I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I would rather you take my life than go back. I want to die faithful to you. And if that costs me my life, I'm willing to die. I don't want to go back." And when I made that kind of commitment in my heart, there was something snapped in that warfare. I can't explain it, but there was a power that was broken. When I made that kind of commitment in my heart and in my spirit to God, and I said, "God, I don't care what it takes. I'd rather die as to go back to sin. I'm no match, but I want to die faithful. I want to go all the way with you. Whatever that means, I'm that serious." And through that commitment, God, you know, in a spiritual realm, observed all of that. And the warfare was real. But there was a power that was so real with that kind of commitment. And I didn't understand it, but I believe it's found in this context. You know, when we verbalize, and in our hearts say, "God, I'm committed. I want your power. I want to walk with you. I want to go all the way. I don't want a 60-40 relationship with you. I don't want to get by. I want to go all the way. I want to die faithful. If it costs me my life, I don't care. I want you. You're my life." And I just share those things with you as my own personal testimony. I believe that our willingness to count the cost, as my brother said it, And whatever that means for you, may be different for you than me, may be different for me than you, it probably will be, because God works with us as individuals. But I think it's important that we get there, no matter what that, how that comes about and what that means. I just think it's important that we get there. And, embrace that. I want to ask you tonight if there's somebody here, and I feel prompted to do this, and if there isn't, we'll move on. But is there somebody here that would like to give testimony to what God did in your heart last night, what God put his finger on your heart about last night? Is there somebody here that would say, God spoke to me about this, and I want to walk it out? Is there somebody that would like to express that? I want to open that up. If you'd like to just raise your voice and share that, we'd be glad for it. And again, I see a mic back there in the back. If you feel we want to do that, is there somebody that would give testimony to what the Lord spoke to you about? Let me give just a minute for that. Okay. We're going to move on. I wanted to give that testimony or give that opportunity. And I may do that as the week progresses. I may give that opportunity. I don't want you to feel like, well, I just have to say something. No, you don't have to. It's just, I want to provide the opportunity. If you feel prompted and you want to say, hey, God spoke to me about this. I think that's freeing. I think that's freeing. And I realize it kind of puts you on a spot, maybe puts you a little bit out on Front Street. You're exposing yourself, your weakness, or whatever it may be. But we're family. And I think that if we can, walk together like that, I think it's helpful. The Bible says that we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And if my brother or my sister is struggling, or, hey, they've been under it here and they need prayer and God is working in their heart, I want to put my arm around my brother and say, brother, God bless you. I've struggled with that. I know what that's like. Let me pray with you. Here's some things that help me. I walked through that. I know what that's like. And, man, I'm going to pray for you. I encourage that in the body. So I'll just leave that and move on. But I may open it back up again, as the week progresses. Tonight, I feel very confident that I can give you an outline of what the Lord's laid on my heart for tonight and tomorrow night and then Sunday morning, so you can kind of know what to expect. Unless the Lord changes, I want to leave allowance. If God changes that, I want you to say, okay, I want you to give me that liberty. But tonight I want to talk to you about embracing the Father's love. Embracing you as an individual, not you as a congregation, but you as an individual. Embracing the Father's love. That's what's on my heart to share with you tonight. And then tomorrow night, I want to talk about or share with you a simple message, but vital. For by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And then Sunday morning, God willing, I want to speak on the heartbeat of God. The heartbeat of God. So now you kind of got an outline of what's on my heart, and maybe that'll help you pray. I would appreciate your prayers. I walk in the strength of the prayers of the saints. I don't mind telling you that. When I am asked to speak, I try and I enlist prayer warriors to pray. I am convinced that prayer is, this is a spiritual battle. This is not, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. These things are important. This is spiritual warfare. When we present the Word of God and we ask God to work in the hearts of people and change people's lives, and, you know, we're faced with opposition here, and, you know, there are spiritual battles to be won. There's victories. We're not in heaven. This is the land of Canaan, where there's giants. There's giants. There's victories to be won. And I'm convinced that prayer is an important part of that. So I would ask you to pray and know that others are praying as well as we share. Embracing the Father's love. I am convinced that how you and I view the Father's love will radically affect our relationship with God and with others. How you and I view the love of God, the love of Christ, how you and I view that love, how we embrace that love, what that looks like to us, what that feels like to us, what do we understand when we say the love of God? When I say God loves me, what does that mean? What does that look like to me? I'm convinced that if you sat down with each one of us and you ask that question, you would get a lot of different opinions of that. I'm convinced of that. I know that to be fact. And I believe that how we view that will radically affect who we are and how we live. It'll radically affect your life. And I want to present to you tonight the Father's love in a way that perhaps you're not looking at. I really believe that a lot of things affect how we view the love of God. I will say one of the things I think is a big thing that would affect how you view the love of God is how you were raised, what kind of father image you had. I believe there's some God things about the structure that God ordained, and even in the state of fallen man, I believe the love that you received from your earthly father, right or wrong, will affect how you view God's love for you. I believe if you grew up as, I'll give you some examples, if you grew up under a very authoritative maybe a loving father, you would say, my father loved me, but boy, he was very authoritative. I mean, we just really had to walk a straight and narrow. I believe that you would, to some degree, say, I know God loves me, but I really, you know, in order to know that, I really got to walk this path. I mean, I really got to walk the straight and narrow, because that's kind of how love was imparted to you by a father. So when you think about God the Father loving you, it's in somewhat of the same context that you receive love from your earthly father. Now, I'm not saying that's 100% and all the time and always correct, but I think it's a great factor in how you perceive the love of God. And I think that's important. I think it's important. I think some of those things need to be broken up, and I think some of those things are fallow ground that need to be broken up and re-evaluated and looked at. I think we need to take a fresh look at what the Word of God says and embrace the truth of God's Word, no matter how we perceive things. And I want you to be open to that tonight as I speak. I want you to be open to say, God, would you show me your love as you love me, not necessarily how I perceive it. If my perception is wrong, then God, show me that. If there's something in my heart and how I perceive your love tonight, and it's not in a way that is right, then God, show me that. Point that out to me. Help me to see that. I want to see your love in reality, how you love me and how you care about me. Because I am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that it will radically change your life. The more that you and I can embrace the love of the Father, the more you and I can wrap our minds and our hearts around this great love wherewith God loved us, the more that we can indulge in God's great love, the more that we can embrace that in reality for what it is and who He is and how much He cares, I am convinced, church, that it will transform your life and heart. The more that I get the true depth and understanding and the reality of how much God loves me and how much He cares about me, the more that it becomes easier and easier for me to love Him. The Bible says we love Him. Why? Why do we love God? Because He first loved us. It's God's love that transformed my life and transformed my heart. And the more that I can indulge in that, and the more that I can receive that and accept that, it comes more and more natural for me to love Him. It's just easy. It's not, I'm not forced to love God. I'm not made to love God. I love Him because how can I not love Him? You see the difference? Perhaps you were taught, you know, you need to love God. You need to love God. You need to love God and you need to do this and do that and do that. And why? Because you love God. You just need to love God. Okay. That's a way of looking at it. But brothers and sisters, I just don't believe that's the heart of God. Let me make a statement, and I want you to think about it. I believe many Christians spend a lifetime trying to become what they already are in Christ. Think about that. I think many Christians, well-meaning, good-hearted Christians, I'm not talking about religious people, but I'm talking about Christians, true Christians. They spend a lifetime struggling and trying to become accepted, trying to become under the fountain of love. They want to be accepted by God. They want to know that God loves them. And they spend their entire life laboring and wondering whether or not they measure up, wondering whether or not that did I find myself accepted today? Did I do good enough? Did I measure up? Does God really love me? Does God really? Well, I know He does. Yeah, because I've been told that all my life, but I'm just not sure. I'm struggling. Oh, but that's right, up here, I know, yeah. I know God loves me. That's right, I know God loves me. It's performance. Performance Christians. You've been shown love because you're doing good. You're walking the line. You're doing real good. We love you. You're doing real good. So we love you. And then you feel loved. You feel accepted. Right? You're performing well. You're measuring up. So you feel loved and accepted. And we can do that in the church too, by the way. We can express that to each other, you know. As long as you're measuring up to our standard or to what I expect, then, hey, we love you. But if you're not, we want you to feel that. We want you to feel, you know, that. And I want to ask you, is that the way we perceive God? Is that the way we look at the love of God? I think it is for a lot of people. I really do. I believe there's a lot of people, knowingly, most of them unknowingly, are under a performance-based love. And it's all about how I measure up to what I perceive God wants from me and how close I'm hitting that goal, how successful I am to hitting that goal of achievement is to how much I feel and how much I perceive that God loves me. I believe that. And I believe it's wrong. I believe that whole thing comes from the pit. I'm sorry. I believe it's wrong. I don't believe God ever intends for us to be under that. You're saying, does that mean it's not important how I live? Please don't misunderstand me. That is not what I mean. I believe it's very important how we live. But I believe our living should be a result of our loving. Not our living is in order to sense His love. I want to perform as best I can so I can feel as much love as I can for God. I want to perform with everything I have so I know I'm accepted. So I know that I'm doing good so Daddy loves me. Brother and sister, that's wrong. That is not the heart of God. I want my Father to know that I want to serve Him because I love Him. And I love Him because He loved me. Nobody ever loved me like Christ. Nobody ever knew me, knew my inner heart. Nobody ever knew my shortcomings, my failures, my thought patterns, my mistakes, my sins. Nobody ever knew every wrong thought I had and every time I made a mistake and loved me in spite of that. Nobody ever loved me like Christ. And to understand the love of God in that context and understand how much God loves me, you know, it's humbling, it's heartbreaking, it's motivating. How could I not but love Him? How could I not but love somebody who loved me like that? And out of that, I want to serve Him. I don't have to. I don't have to serve Him. I want to. I want to please my Father. Not so I feel His love and feel accepted. No. I am accepted. I am loved. And out of that, I want to love in return, and I want to honor Him, and I want to live for Him, and I want to love Him. I can't love Him enough in comparison for His love for me. But it's not me striving to accept, find acceptance with Him. It's different. It's different. Performance-based love is very, very detrimental. God's love for you and me is a stated fact. And we're going to look more at that. We're going to look at what the Word says. God loves you because God loves you. God loves you because that's who God is. That's what He does. That's a stated fact. In fact, the Bible says, while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for the ungodly. God loves you because He loves you. You can't stop that. You can't manipulate that. God's love for you is so real. God cares about you, whether you care about Him or not. God loves you, whether you're God's not interested in your performance to gain His acceptance. God is pursuing you because He loves you. Because He wants a relationship with you. He came for you while you were a sinner, while you were lost and undone. Christ died for you because He loves you. And out of that, you can't change that. You can grow up and hate God. You can become an infidel and shake your fist at God and hate God. You can curse Him, but you cannot stop Him from loving you. He will love you until you die. You cannot stop the love of God. It's a stated fact. Christ loves you. And it's not based on your performance. It's not based on how much you love me. You know, I'll give 50%, you give 50%. No. God gave it all. Whether you give anything or not. God gave everything He had to redeem you. You may not receive that. You may not receive the love that God has for you. But it's not going to stop God from loving you and caring about you. God's going to love you just like you are. Now, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. God changes a man's heart when he begins to get saved, and your life of changes. I agree with that. But we don't change our life by our power and then receive God's love. Because I measured up to a certain level, now God says, I'll accept that. You work pretty hard. You got up to my standard, so now I'm going to accept you, and now I hope you understand I love you because you made it this far. How twisted does that sound? That is not the heart of God. I want to say, secondly tonight, God's love is not based on how you feel or what you are experiencing today. Having been a child of God for 35 years, trust me, I have walked through valleys. Me and my wife have walked through valleys that were so dark and so cold. And being honest, you, in your weakness, say, God, where are you? Do you care? God, why? I'm just being honest. You walk through valleys that are so long and hard in your weakness. You say, God, do you care? Do you care? I'm hurting. Do you care? I don't feel your love. If you love me, God, why am I going through this? Why do I hurt? Why is the pain there? God, do you love me? God loves you whether you feel it or not. God cares whether you feel like He cares or not. Your circumstances do not determine whether or not God loves you. And that's what I want you to grasp tonight. God loves you and I whether we feel like it or not. Whether the circumstances of life take us down paths that are so painful and hurtful that we really question, God, do you care? I believe that's when God wants us to reach out beyond our feelings and say, God, I believe. I believe you love me. I believe you care. Even though it don't feel like it. Even though my circumstances are so painful, I choose to believe you love me. I am going to make a decision to believe you, even though it doesn't feel that way. I believe when we begin to embrace the love of God by faith, God can work miracles in our hearts. I'm convinced. By faith, we believe the promises of God. By faith. It's a little like, it's similar to salvation. Are you saved because you believe, because you feel like you're saved? You get up every day and say, man, I feel saved. I just feel good today. I'm saved. Then maybe tomorrow you don't feel so good. Do you say, man, maybe I'm not saved. Do you live your life that way? I hope not. No. Say, man, I got that settled. You know, I don't trust my feelings. I hope you don't. How do you relate to God's love? Is it a settled fact? Is it a done deal? That's where I'm coming from. Is it a done deal? God said it. I believe it. It doesn't matter what I'm facing. It doesn't matter how hard the pain or what I'm going through. It doesn't matter if it doesn't feel like nobody cares or God doesn't care. It doesn't matter if I can't reach out and just touch the hem of his garment for whatever reason. I can't sense his presence, but it's a done deal. God said he loves me. And God, I believe you. I accept it. And I'm going to walk in it whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to embrace it and I'm going to believe it by your grace and by your power. I'm going to embrace your love. And nothing, like Paul said in prison, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall discouragement, shall trial, shall beatings and mockering and suffering and pain and rejection and all those things I faced, if any of them going to separate me from the love of God? Paul said, no way. None of that is going to separate me from the reality that God loves me and cares. Is that where your faith is settled? Is that where your acceptance of God's love is settled? On faith, because God said it. That's where I want you to get. Not based on your performance, not based on how you feel, not based on the circumstances of life, not based on how others treat you or mistreat you or don't, or what you face or the tragedy that you're going through, you know, I understand all those things. I've been there, brothers and sisters. I've walked down that path. I know what that feels like. And I think we need to break through that and just reach out by faith and say, God, I accept the fact that you love me today and you care about me, even though I don't feel like it. Or my circumstances are beyond what I believe I can bear. But I'm going to accept the fact that you love me. And I believe it. And I'm going to embrace that love and I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to tell you, if you can do that, by the grace of God, your life will change. It won't be like this. Life may go like that. You can't stop that. But down in the heart, it'll be different. I encourage you. I just because I know how life is, I believe some of you are walking through real valley. Some of you are walking through some real valleys. And perhaps the enemy has said, God doesn't care. If God loved you, He wouldn't let this happen. God doesn't really care about you. Remember what we opened with? Try the spirits. Is that a voice that you want to embrace? Is that what you want to believe? The voice of the enemy? That subtle voice that says God doesn't care? God doesn't care about you. God doesn't love you. If God loved you, that's the voice of the enemy in the garden. Oh, you surely won't die. No, God didn't mean that. Question. No, that's not the way it is. No, break through that. And say, God, I'm going to choose to trust you. I'm going to choose to believe you. No matter what it feels like. No matter what the circumstances of life. God, I'm going to believe you because you said it. And when you embrace the love of God in that fashion, you'll find courage and strength and walk by faith. John chapter 3, 16, who can quote it? Young man, did you start or was that my wife? Say it, please. Do you believe that? Whether you feel like it or not? Why? Because God said it. God that cannot lie, God that cannot lie said that. Can you believe it? Romans 5. Turn with me there. Romans 5. 6 and 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one yet die, yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die. But God commandeth his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you believe that? Embrace that. Embrace that as your own. Embrace that no matter what the enemy says, no matter what you feel like, no matter how you're... Don't base that on your performance. He doesn't add a lot of things to that and say, as long as you're measuring up, this promise is for you. As long as you're measuring up, then accept that. No. Accept that. And say, God, because of that, I want to live for you because you love me. I love you. And God, by your power, I will serve you. You deserve it because you love me. That's the kind of relationship God's looking for. That's what God wants in our hearts. Somebody read Romans 8:15 for me. Romans 8:15. Yes, sir. We haven't received the spirit of bondage. The spirit of bondage would say, you perform and God will love you. That's a bondage. That's a real bondage. Notice in your scriptures, that's a little s. That's another spirit. That spirit of bondage that says you must perform before I love you. But you have received the Spirit, capital, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. You have received that. And that Spirit of adoption that says, you're mine, son, daughter, you're mine, I love you, I receive you, I accept you right as you are. I love you. I care about you. You're my son. You're my daughter. That Holy Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we're the child of God. That Spirit of adoption cries in our heart, Abba, Father. See the difference? Daddy, I love you. How could I not love you? Nobody ever loved me like you, Lord. I don't have to love you, Lord. I can't stop loving you. It's altogether different. I don't have to love God. I can't stop loving God. Nobody ever loved me like God. Nobody ever cared about me like God. Nobody ever loved me like Christ loved me. I don't have to love Him. I want to love Him. Because He loves me. I would like to give just a word of testimony as how strong this Spirit is. Little Spirit, capital Spirit. For years, as a family, and I don't think this will dishonor my wife at all, but it's a fact. For years, we would sit down and we'd have devotions. And sometimes this thing about God's love would come up. And I would talk to my family and my children about loving God like a father, daddy. Loving God like a father. You know, in practical love. Because He loves me, I love my Father. And God is my witness, my wife. That would upset her. That would bother her, that I would talk about God that way. She felt like that was irreverent. How can you say that? How can you? It just doesn't feel right for you to say that. It doesn't feel right. God is so high and lofty and holy, and how can you talk like that? It doesn't feel right to me. And I knew there was something wrong. But I didn't understand it. I just knew that for me, I had embraced that kind of love, and that's what I really felt. And for my wife, it bothered her. A number of years ago, and it's been a number of years ago, somebody brought a message on the Father's love. And God revealed Himself to my wife as a loving Father. And she realized that she had never seen God that way. And God brought her to that place of repentance. And receiving that kind of love. Oh, she would have said, God loves me. I know God loves me. I know God loves me. She would have been a Christian, sure. But she never had received and embraced the love of a father. She had an abusive father, an authoritarian father. And it took God to quicken in her heart the reality that I'm not like that. I'm not like that. I love you. I love you just like you are. I care about you. I'm a father to you. And when she, it was hard. I mean, it was a spiritual battle for her to reach out. I was there. I witnessed it. It was a spiritual battle for her to reach out and accept that kind of love. And when she worked through that and accepted that, it changed her life. It changed her life. Now, we can talk about how God loves us like a father. And we're both on the same page. We both understand it. We both believe it. She was a Christian, sure, absolutely. But there was a blockage there. There was something there that was blocking her view of God's love. And when that was broken, the power of that was broken, it changed her life. It's real. The spirit of adoption or the spirit of bondage? Which one are you under tonight? Somebody read John, 1 John 4:16. 1 John 4:16. I'm going to close here in just a minute. Hang on. 1 John 4:16. I don't know if you've ever looked at that, but it doesn't say God does love. It says that God is love. It's who He is. You can't change it. It's who He is. God is love. Whether you receive it, accept it, believe it, you can't change it. God loves you because He is love. That's His makeup. That's God. God is love. Can you believe that? Can you reach out and embrace that? My God is a loving God. My God loves me. No matter what I'm facing, no matter what I feel like, God loves me because my God is love. Embrace it. 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. The song says, my faith has found a resting place. John 15, verse 9. John 15, verse 9. I'm going to read this. Jesus said this. John 15, verse 9. Praying to the Father. I'm sorry, talking to His disciples in this text. In another text, He is praying to the Father. But in this text, He's talking to His disciples. This is so powerful. Please look at this. As the Father, Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, even so I love you. Get it? Jesus said to the disciples, you and I, as the Father, God the Father loved me, I love you the same way. My question is, was God's love for Jesus based on performance? Do you think Jesus got up one day and wondered whether or not God really cared? Do you think Jesus is, maybe He was in the garden praying and knowing what was about to come about? Do you think He said, God, I really don't know if You love me or not. God, I really don't know if You care. Such agony that it was sweat, blood, sweat, drops of blood. Such agony when He was facing all He faced for you and I. Do you think those thoughts crossed His mind? I really don't know, God, if You really love me. I don't know if You care, Father. You think He got up and said, you know, I'm not sure my ministry is meeting your satisfaction. I hope you love me. I hope I'm doing okay. I don't think he ever felt that way. I don't think he ever felt that one time. I don't care what he walked through. I don't believe that was ever the way he felt. I believe his confidence was so strong in the Father's love for him, no matter what he walked through, no matter what he faced, no matter how much rejection and pain and suffering, no matter what he faced, his confidence was so rock solid in the love that God had for him that he could just walk right on through it and know that my God loves me. And he said, that same kind of love is the kind of love I love you with. Can you believe that? My question to you and I is, can we believe that? Can we embrace that? Can we accept that and say, I believe it. I accept it. I'm going to step out in it. I'm going to wade in it. I'm going to believe in it. I'm going to live in it. No matter what life comes, no matter what happens, I'm going to choose to walk in that. Because my Father said that he's going to love me like that. Said he told me that's the way he loved me, and I believe him. I accept it. I'm not going down the way of performance or how I feel anymore. I'm quitting that. I'm done with that. It's no longer the path I'm going to trod anymore. I'm going from this day forward to choose to accept God's love because he says he loves me. He said he loves me just like the Father loved him. He said that and I believe it. And you're not going to change my mind. Tell the enemy to get away. I'm not going to listen to your spirits anymore. I will choose by faith to accept what my Father said and receive that love by faith. I'm going to reach out and I'm going to embrace that love and I'm going to dwell in that love and I'm going to walk in that love by faith. I accept it and I believe it. I believe God's calling us to that. John chapter 17, and we're going to close. John chapter 17 and verse 22. Here's where God is praying. Here's where Christ is praying to the Father. Verse 22 of John chapter 17, Jesus says, "And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them even as thou loved me." Jesus said it. Right there. That the world may know that, Father, just like you love me, I know you love them the same way. That the world may know that. I pray for them that they could understand this. Just like you love me, I know you love them in the same way. And I want the world to know that. This is the heart of God. That we can embrace that by faith. And believe it and receive it as our own. It will change your life. I can assure you. No more will I pull myself up by my bootstraps. No more will I be toyed with by the enemy that says God doesn't love you. Why? Because I don't feel it. Hey, God doesn't love you. Why? Because you're not measuring up. You know, you failed your thought life. How could God love you? Look what you did yesterday. Look how you're performing. Come on now. God knows that. God doesn't love you. Look, you're failing. You're falling short. God doesn't love you. You're not measuring up. You need to quit listening to those voices. And say, I choose to believe what my Father said. And he said he loved me. And by your grace, Father, I will choose to honor you. I will choose to walk with you. By your grace, I will repent and I will walk by your power to overcome evil. But I will not be brought under the subjection of this little spirit that wants to defeat me and cause me to question your love any longer. I will not be brought under that any longer by your power. I believe that's important, and I believe it'll change your life. That's what's on my heart. I love you. I care about you. And I know that will change your life. The love of God has power to change a life. So let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you for listening. Is there anybody here who would say, I'm not going to call you up front, not going to call on you, but I do want to pray for you. Is there anybody here who would say, Brother Joe, God put his finger on my heart tonight. I have not embraced the Father's love in the way you described it tonight. I have been under the influence of performance or feelings. I've measured God's love for me based on how I'm performing and or the trials I walk through, and it's really hard for me to really embrace the love that you talked about tonight and the way that you talked about it. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. I see your hand.